Thank you for the opportunity to come and share with you today. And I learned a few new songs, very interesting ones. You're so good, oh, 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 so good, oh. Nice to be with young people, because I used to spend 20 years teaching family practice in Hong Kong and here, and I love young people. But when I come here, I don't get a chance, so I'm very happy to be with you today. And when Pastor Samuel asked me to speak, he said, can you do it in May, okay? I said, with my being a lung cancer patient, my health status, I cannot predict if I'm still alive or dead by May. So the earlier, the better. So he gave me today's date. And I think God did it for a purpose, okay? And I'll tell you, there were three miracles. Do you believe in miracles? I experienced three miracles in this past week, all right? But I'll tell you about one of them at the end. All right, so I got my slides. Okay. So the topic I'm going to share with you is striving or resting, okay? And reflections on who is in control in the jigsaw puzzle of life. Now, if you go to a destination, how do you plan your travel? How many of you use GPS? How many of you still look at a paper map? Okay. I'm the old-fashioned kind, so my car doesn't have a GPS, no video. And I still look at a map. When you use a GPS, do you just punch the destination in there and then follow the voice, the reminder, to turn and make this this and that? Or do you actually take a look at the map, have an idea how you get there before you drive on? Which way do? Do you just follow? Or how many of you take a look first? Okay. Now, of course, sometimes we do autopilot, right? When you go to work in school, you just drive, okay? And you think you know the way, but sometimes your attention is not good and you can still miss a train, right? Is the GPS very reliable? I've been to places where there's a sign, okay? Sorry, GPS is wrong. You got to the wrong, you're not the only one who came to the wrong destination, right? So yes, we do need to take a look at the map. And the same thing in life, do we have a map of the overall picture? This is a little thing I did at the Cancer Agency Arts Therapy Group. I did not draw this. This is a paste and whatever, okay? So I cut down. But I think it's a good portrait of life, right? There are different seasons, spring, summer, autumn, and winter. There's a little man here facing the big icy glacier. And where is he supposed going to go? And there's a little person here, standing there. Okay, an old Chinese guy. Okay, looking at the waterfalls, contemplating, or is he thinking about jumping inside? Okay, somebody was here, this winding road. Which path to take? It would be great if we can know, okay, especially the young people, okay, what's going to lie ahead. Nowadays, okay, with medicine changing, you can pay $500 and get a test to determine which medicine are you allergic to. So the doctor you don't have a chance that the doctor give you an antibiotic and you suddenly break out in a rash and have trouble breathing. If you pay a few more $1,000, you can have your whole genome sequenced, okay, and it predicts what's your chance of having cancer in late life. Would you like that? If I were to know I have lung cancer at this age, you think I would study so hard in university? Work so hard? What do you say? So sometimes, and it may be so scared, right? Well, if I'm going to have cancer and die like that, or can't, okay, what am I going to do with my life? Okay. But don't worry, okay, even though you have the gene, doesn't mean you're going to have that cancer, because there's a lot of things you can do in terms of preventive behavior change. Your nature, your nurture the environment, and there's a lot of things that are polygenic, multiple genes control the expression of that gene and the proteins, all right? So even if there's a plan, a map, okay, there's a choice, there's change. And life is always an adventure with GPS, with map, with genome, whole genome sequencing, but still there's a lot of unpredictability with many unexpected turns and detours. So today I'm going to share with you a little bit what happened to my life, okay? Just give you another experience. I was, we took a speaker from Hong Kong for a short half-day trip from Calgary to Banff last June, when my health was not too bad. And we only have time for a half-day trip. So we went to Lake Louise, walked around, beautiful scenery, took some pictures, and then we found a hiking trail. A lot of people walk up and down. Any of you been there? Okay. But there was no sign telling us how long it's going to take, how much time it takes, and nothing to say about the elevation of that trail. So we tried it, and with my lung condition, I told my husband and a friend, you go ahead, okay, I'm going to take it easy, and I'll do what I can. If I can't do it, I'll come back. Okay. So it goes higher and higher and higher. I thought it was just a trail around the lake, okay, but it actually goes up and up, and I was wheezing, coughing. So I kept asking people, come back, how far? How much longer? Okay. Can you tell me, is it beautiful up there? Is it worthwhile going up? Okay. Did that happen to you before? You have no idea what's going on, what's going to happen. And then you ask people who have been there, and they may give you some hint. So today I'm going to give you a little bit of hint about, because I'm older than many of you, okay, and I have experienced this life-threatening illness for now more than 4 years. And illness in the family. So I've actually looked at death in the eye. It touched me, my life, my family's life, at least 3 times. Right. Okay. So I want to tell you about what it is like, and then maybe give you some ideas. Okay. And most importantly, I think I want to show, okay, I hope you agree with me at the end, that God is a wonderful tour guide. All right, he's better than any GPS that you have in life. All right, I'm going to tell you a few telephone calls that changed my life path. Okay, I started my university. I came from Hong Kong to Winnipeg. How many of you have been to cold, cold Winnipeg? Minus 40, minus 60 in the winter. Okay, after minus 20, 30, it doesn't matter whether it's minus 40 or minus 60. It's the same. Okay. I could not get into university in Hong Kong, so I came here. Sorry, I had radiation, so my mouth gets dry, so I have to drink water from time to time. I hope you excuse me. So that's the biggest failure in my life, because I could not get into university, although only at that time, only about 2% people who graduated, matriculated from grade 13 can get into the University of Hong Kong. And so I came here to study. So let me tell you, shame and striving for success to regain my wounded pride is a good motivator for learning. Some of you who are studying, have you ever failed in exams? I'm sure most of you do very well. Okay. So for me, one of my classmates here from high school, so she knows. So I came here, so I study very hard. We have biology tests every Monday. And then those days, they post the results. Without your name, of course, okay? Just a student number and your results on the board for everybody to see. Do they do that anymore? No, personal privacy, right? You're right. Okay? You don't want to be ashamed in front of people, so you don't do that anymore. But those days, when they post it, okay? So I spent a lot of time studying, and then, but I noticed, well, there's a group of Christians, okay, Chinese Christians, who are very active. They did remarkable new student reception, work. They welcome the students, help them settle down, and we have a Christian fellowship at the university. And they spent some time, a lot of time, writing articles about the experience of God, typing it. No computer those days. We write on wax paper, stencil, so, and then get it printed. And then we put the papers together into a magazine, and they circulated to hundreds and thousands of foreign university students in Canada and US. So I said, and I was very happy. I respect them a lot, so I try to join them. But their prayer meetings is on Sunday. Okay, I got my test on Monday. Okay? So this balance, should I spend more time studying? Should I go? Okay. And that verse spoke to me. Okay. He who loves his life loses it. He who loses his life for Jesus' sake will gain it. And I thought to myself, if I die today, I don't know why I thought about that when I was so young, but I thought if I die today, what good is my good grace going to do? Nobody's going to remember. That's me no good. But if I help somebody to get to know God, that will be eternal value. So slowly, slowly, my attitude changed. So I joined their ranks. Okay. My first lesson on letting go of the little that I have and trusting, relying on God, came at the end of the first year of university. I got a very good job by about March, okay, to work for 4 months in a golf course about 2 hours north of Winnipeg. I can work for four months. Okay, I got room and board. I don't have to look for a place to stay. I have meals paid for, and I probably will be able to make enough for my next year's tuition and so on. So I was very happy. Everything settled. I got a plan. But one condition is you have to stay for the whole 4 months. You cannot take leave early. I said, no problem. But then later on, our church choir, okay, decided to go on a gospel chorale trip across Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Alberta in the last 2 weeks of summer. So I thought to myself, should I tell the employer? If I do, I'll probably lose that job. But if I don't, how can I go and witness for God, okay, when I'm dishonest? And God gave me this passage. By the way, that quote was wrong. It's Romans 4:17, all right? Okay. And it says, the God in whom Abraham believed is the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Romans 4:17, not 4:7. Okay. So I thought, God gave me this promise, so I'll take him for his word. So I phoned the boss. I'm going to stay for the whole summer except the last 2 weeks. And I thought, if I'm honest, he might like me, right? Because who knows, some other girls may say, okay, I'm going to do work performance, and then they quit halfway. No way, right? The boss said, no, you don't have your job anymore. So I went for my exams, not knowing what's going to happen. The day after I finished the exams, I went looking for a job. I got the first job and took the first job that I got offered. Guess what? Selling hamburgers in the Greyhound bus depot. There's no more Greyhound now. Right? They just closed their business in BC a year or two ago. And worked from 5 in the afternoon to midnight. I got a taxi to come home. And the taxi ride is only less than a dollar. So what do? So I got not enough money, right? But I was very happy. At least when I tried to be honest and got caught me, okay? I did not try. And then nothing happened. Right? So I got a job. So I got another part-time job washing dishes in the kitchen for a month. So pretty good. I got washed dishes in the morning. I got lunch. And then I got some rest. And I go in the evening for the other job. I got to eat in both places. I don't even have to cook. And then after a month, I got fired. I did not break any dish, let me tell you, okay? And what do I do? So I decided to take a summer course. I did Physics 120, the subjects that I dreaded the most, I did, okay? But that's one of the prerequisites of med school. I never thought I would get into medicine after I left Hong Kong because I was a foreign student, and I'm not going to take physics. But because of that, I have spare time, so what did I do? So it worked out very well. Morning classes, afternoon lab, evening I went to work. Okay, and I got an A+. So that boosted my lost confidence in my studies. Years later, when I look back, I cannot help but marvel at God's wonderful providence. Who was in control? I took him for his word. I gave up the tiny little bit that I have, and he gave me so much in return. I would never have been a doctor if I had gone for the 4 months to work in the waitress in the golf course. Amazing, huh? So to me, so I spend less time studying, but when I study, I can concentrate a bit more. And to me, medicine is always a gift from God. Time flies. I practiced in Toronto. I got married. But I've never thought I would spend so many years in Canada when I first came to study. And by 1984, there's a joint declaration that China will take back Hong Kong in 1997. So a lot of people were very worried, and you can see it. The wave of immigration began. A lot of people start coming to Canada. And I thought to myself, okay, we thought, my husband and I, there's 10 more years that we can still have a chance to go back and serve our motherland. What can we do? But sad to say, Hong Kong does not, at that time, no longer recognize my Canadian medical qualification. All right. So if I go back, what do I have to do? I have to spend a year in residence, and then I have to take two exams, and then do an 18-month internship at my slightly older age. Okay. I've been out of hospital for a few years and have to go back to the very, very busy Hong Kong, Hong Kong. Oh. But God has a wonderful way, very different detour. I didn't get a job, but my husband got a job. The bank went to Toronto to recruit people to go back to Hong Kong. So should we go? Do I dare to give up my practice, my license, and go back? Should I take another step of faith? And this is the passage that God gave me, Matthew 14. Yes, there may be other people who can go, but there's a hungry people, there's needy people. You give them something to eat. And I told the Lord, I only have 2 fish, 5 loaves. And then I read the other part of Matthew 14. And Jesus looked at the multitudes. He felt compassion for them. And he healed the sick. So at that time, I thought, does it mean God say I can still be a doctor? Anyway, my husband went. I left 3 months afterwards. I sold the house. So my practice, say goodbye to all my patients. And, you know, God gave me a second summer job, much more than I expected. I have a 3-month summer job substituting teaching for the med school because all the teachers, professors are gone in the summer for holidays and for conferences. But med school is all year round except for 1 month. Okay. Holiday. So they said, because if I teach in the university, they give me deemed license. I don't have to sit the exam and so on. I can practice. 3 months, all right? Have you ever had a summer job being a university lecturer for 3 months? Amazing. God has a wonderful way of guidance. He calls into being that which does not exist. When I work in Hong Kong, I spent 20 years. I am a workaholic. And you know this parable of the talents. If I give you two, he makes two more. If I give you five, the other one makes five more. The one who got one, he hid it, didn't make any extra money, but didn't lose it either, and got scolded. Okay, so I'm a workaholic at heart. After 20 years, there's another phone call. They call me to switch jobs from the university to the health authority for administration. But I won't belabor the point. I'll tell you the details. And second, after 20 years, my mom, she comes to the Chinese worship. She had a stroke, subarachnoid hemorrhage. I came back to see her. I didn't know whether when I stepped on the plane, she was comatose. She just had her operation. And she's not doing well. They were doing CPR on her. So I did not know when I came off the plane after 13 years whether she's going to be alive or dead. When I arrived at the VGH, she was comatose. As a doctor, I went to the resource center at the You know, there's a resource center at VGH, right? Mortality rate, 30, 40%. Even if she woke up, is she going to be okay or is she going to be a vegetable? Okay. As a doctor, I knew there's nothing much I can do except pray. And I called a friend in Toronto. Can you please, she knows my mom, so can you pray for her? And I'm sure a lot of people here pray for her too. After about 2 days, I saw her foot, left foot, and then the other foot, one arm and the other arm, and she woke up. Okay, amazing. So I went back to Hong Kong, but I flew back and forth. So I thought, it's time, because God gave me a second chance, so I better come back. Otherwise, I don't want to come back when my mom gets demented and could not even recognize me. But it's difficult, right? Because I was head of the department, 100 doctors, a lot of residents. We are doing a lot of work transitioning patients from primary care to hospital. There's no family practice in Hong Kong and in hospital in the past. So we were there to put family practice footprint in hospital and train them. But after 20 years, okay, maybe it's time to go back. My husband is here. I'm back in Hong Kong working. So, middle of the night, 11 o'clock, a friend of mine called. I said, I negotiated for 4 months no pay leave with my boss in Hong Kong. I said, give me some time to spend with my family, then I can come back and work for you wholeheartedly. They were pretty kind. They gave me what? 2 months, no pay leave. That's all he can do, is that. So I know my husband isn't going to accept it. So I phoned, my friend called me at 11 o'clock. I told her, she said, you should go back. So I decided to come back. And send me retry, right? Because I'm not, okay, resting. But those few years of resting, it's difficult for a workaholic to rest. Patients coming in, they say they have pain, but they actually know this is a new doctor. I want to come for cough medicine, codeine. I want to come for opioids. I want to, okay, sleeping pills. Until 2010, then I went back to Hong Kong. One of my former pastors told me, you know, I said, I thought I would like, maybe God asked me to come back so I can go to theology school and be a minister or something. But no, the same passage, Matthew 14, except one more verse, verse 22. Jesus went to the other side of the lake, okay, and pray alone. So that's what I did. Come back to the other side of the sea, okay, by myself. Frontline practice all by myself. And but he said, you know what you have done? Okay, there are people that you can reach that nobody else could. So finally, that starry night, I look up the sky as if God told me, well done. And then I settled down. So I worked very hard with the patients here. And I learned palliative care, home hospice, dealing with dying patients at home, elderly, immigrants who emigrated here. Their qualifications are not recognized. They feel rejected. They have no family support. I can fully empathize with them. And so I learned a lot, medicine. And in 2012, there's a third phone call. The medical director called me. We're looking for department head. I said, no way, okay. 300 people in the staff, VJX, okay. I'm not going to be on call again at my old age. My friends are all retiring. And I'm not going to take a new job. And he said, give me one reason why you wouldn't even come for an interview. So at the age of 60, on my 60th birthday, I went to VJX for an interview. Six men interviewed me. Okay. And so I started to work and made up for that being a workaholic. 2014, the fourth phone call. I was coughing for 2 weeks. I begged my doctor, maybe I should have a chest x-ray. 3 centimeter mass nodule in the right lung. The respirologist was very good, very kind, very efficient. And then he called me after his test result. Sorry, you have confirmed lung cancer, advanced lung cancer, which is inoperable. Shock. I never smoked one cigarette in my life. I hate the smell of cigarette. I can smell a cigarette from there. Okay, I do this when people smoke around me. And I mean, other cancers I know as a doctor, you know, breast cancer, colon cancer, uterine cancer, but lung cancer. That weekend, after the diagnosis, we drove down to Seattle and went to this church. And you know what the sermon was preached? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We have this sentence of death in ourselves that we should not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. I was looking at those stained glasses, and I thought God was telling me, I know you just received this cancer, advanced lung cancer is not a good thing, so to speak, a death sentence. Whether I'm going to heal or not, get better or not, doesn't matter. But the fact that God of the universe, the God whom I have trusted since I was a youth, he cares enough to tell me he knew that I was just diagnosed. I was so touched. I thought he was right there at those stained glass. Another experience 2 years later, my husband had a heart attack. You know where this is? This is right outside VGH Emerge, and coronary care unit is on the side. And that's a chair that I sat on crying because I was receiving a 6-week, my cancer was progressing. I was receiving second week into my 6-week radio chemo radiation course, and my husband nearly died. If I had left home 10 minutes early, I would probably come home to find somebody dead. And while he was waiting 4 months, okay, a few months for his bypass surgery. So I cried. As a doctor, I think God taught me, my husband suffered a little bit more because God wanted to teach me this lesson. We have the sentence of death in ourselves, so that as a doctor, I shall humbly recognize and acknowledge that I, the medical system, may fail me, cannot save us. And our hope only comes in God who gives life. It's like a lot of people say, oh, you have faith. No, it's not me. It's God reaching out in the angry seas to pull me up out of the angry waves. All right? I shared this in the summer camp with you in last August. When I had sores from the second generation target pills I take, and sores in the top of the head, sores in the foot. I got to use this, remember that? I showed you in August, trying to scrape my head. Middle of the night, very uncomfortable. And then I settled in bed, I read Job 2. Same passage. On the passage, what does it read? Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the sole of the feet to the crown of his head. And he took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself. And I thought to myself, that was me. Middle of night, I forgot what time, 1 or 2 in the morning, God told me he knew I was suffering. And I said, Lord, if it is you, if it's you are the ghost who's walking in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, it's actually Jesus walking on the water. If all this illness, this sad is you, blessing in disguise, it's okay with me. Because you are so close. Another lesson I learned is seeing things with God's eyes. When you're in a difficult, angry waters, don't just look at the water, the circumstances. Look with God's eyes. I'm just going to let you read those passages, okay? And these are passages that God prepared, gave me before some of my treatments, okay? Those who are with us, praying for us, are more than those in the army. Look and see the protection God's angels surrounding Prophet Elijah. Don't just look at the painful circumstances. Then you will see God's glory. Another lesson I learned is prayer. As a doctor, we give people medicine and they respond. Okay, we have statistics to tell you response rate, overall survival rate. What's there to pray about? All right, so initially I didn't ask a lot of people, do I want God to give me extra? Okay, treat her. Who am I to ask people to pray for me so I get better and while others die from? Okay? So many people, 1.8 million people in each year have lung cancer, and 1.4 of them die each year from lung cancer. But when I am down to my knees, I have nothing, I'm totally out of control with my husband's near-death experience and myself nearly dying from pretty bad asthma attack. The only thing I can do is to ask my friends to pray for me. And I experience the truth of God's faithfulness and also the beauty of people supporting with prayer. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. What does it say? As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. And I'll tell you, and when I look back in life, is it worth all the striving, working so hard? It's actually Psalm 127 says, it's useless to rise up early and go to bed late. How many of you spend late hours meeting deadlines? Don't you know God enjoys giving rest to those he loves? I've never learned that psalm too well. But these are the lessons. I put the dates down because they mean something that's before my different therapies. And you note, the last date is last Sunday when I was here. When the speaker talked about David and Goliath, so I went back and looked at 1 Samuel chapter 17. The same thing. For the battle is not yours, but God's. My battle against lung cancer is not mine. It's actually not even a battle, but the cancer keeps coming back. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be what? Still. Okay? For the battle is not yours. Set yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Rest in God. Station, take up your positions, not to fight, but the quiet went in front of the army and sing hallelujah, and God fought it for them. Okay? All right, so the lesson I learned is not striving too hard. I come to the stage, I need to rest. I'm nearing the end of my years, resting in God's peace. Follow his guidance, and he will use you, actually, in your weakness, to do more for him than what you can do on your own striving. Because he, without him, will not link to the vine. We cannot do nothing. It's a wonderful life. When I look back, he has fit the pieces of life's jigsaw puzzle into a beautiful picture. What drives you in life today? Money? School grades? Okay. Your idols? Fame? Success? Or trying to please God on your own? How will you invest your time and money and energy? We think we have control. Are we really in control? And can you, do you, or will you put your trust in God that he can lead your life? Faith is daring to take new steps and trust that the ground that God has led you to, that you have never trod, is safe ground, God's ground, higher ground. This is adapted from Henry Nguyen. And that's so true in my life. Let me tell you the final phone call that happened this Thursday afternoon. My cancer is getting worse again. My cancer mark is slowly climbing. When you take a target pill for a while, the body gets smarter and you develop resistance. There's a third generation target pill that has much less side effect than the one I'm taking. It helps the brain as well, but I could not take it before because I don't have that mutation. For 2 years, I've been tested again and again. Finally, she called me Thursday afternoon. You got that T790M mutation. You can start your medicine Monday. Actually, I could have started Friday because they called me Friday, but I was working, so I couldn't get there. So hallelujah, praise God. I never expected it. But why did God give me this news 3 days, 2 days before I talked today? I think he wants to show you his glory, to tell you and ask you to rejoice with me, okay, that he is God. He is in control. Okay? Yes, strive hard for God. But also, don't forget, he is the ultimate who controls our life. And he is a good tour guide, and he leads in wonderful ways.